Welcome to Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Gear, where I share my enthusiasm for all topics automotive. Welcome to the Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast, episode 26. In today's podcast, I talk about Ford preps for its second electric truck plant, Project T3, Camaro 6, the best car we never loved. Exhibitors demonstrate a strong commitment to the 2023 SEMA Specialty Equipment Marketing Association show. Stellantis and Samsung SDI's Kokomo Gigafactory marks construction milestone. The most powerful muscle car in the world and a message from SeaTech. Don't get stuck at the airport during spring break. If this is your first time here, thanks for clicking that play button. I'm Mario Gear, and I've been involved in the automotive industry for well over 15 years, and I'm sharing my enthusiasm for all automotive topics with you. So let's begin. Our first story, Ford preps for its second electric truck Project T3 at future Blue Oval City EV mega campus. Ford unveiled plans Friday for a second electric truck, codenamed Project T3, during a press conference at Ford's $5.6 billion Blue Oval City EV mega campus. The automaker says construction is on track to begin production in 2025. After capping the year off with 61,575 electric vehicle sales, up 126% year over year in 2022, Ford became the second largest EV maker in the U.S. behind only Tesla. Sales were led by the Mustang Mach-E, selling nearly 40,000 units last year and remaining one of the top-selling EVs. Ford sales were boosted by the introduction of the F-150 Lightning electric pickup, which customers began receiving in May. The electric pickup was the best-selling electric truck since its launch, with 15,617 units sold through December. To accelerate EV production, Ford revealed plans in 2021 for its largest and most advanced and efficient auto complex in the automaker's rich 118-year history. The project, called Blue Oval City, is being constructed on a nearly 6-square-mile site in Stanton, Tennessee, that Ford says will build next-generation electric F-150 and lithium-ion batteries, alongside the two additional battery plants in Kentucky. In collaboration with SK Innovations, Ford expects to have 129 gigawatt-hours in annual U.S. production capacity. After breaking ground on its Blue Oval SK Battery Park in December, Ford said it was on schedule to begin production in 2025. Ford's latest announcement confirms the Blue Oval City mega campus is still on track and will be home to the automaker's second electric truck. Ford plans for a second electric vehicle at EV mega campus. The automaker revealed Friday plans for the second fully electric truck after the F-150 Lightning. The new truck, which is being called Project T3, is to be produced at Blue Oval City. Project T3 is short for Trust the Truck, a tribute to the team developing a truck that people can trust in the digital age, one that's fully capable of towing, hauling, exporting power, and endless innovations. Although no specs were mentioned, Ford CEO Jim Farley said at the release, Project T3 is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to revolutionize America's truck. We are melding 100 years of Ford truck know-how with world-class electric vehicle software and aerodynamic talents. It will be a platform for endless innovations and capacities. He continued to describe it as being like a Millennium Falcon with a back porch attached. Drawing on the success of the F-150 Lightning, Ford's Project T3 aims to further grow and reinvent the Ford truck franchise. On the fourth quarter, on Ford's Q4 earnings call in February, Farley said the company was deep in the development of our second generation EV, including our next generation full-size pickup. Farley added, the new EV would be fully software updatable, meaning the brand new electric architecture that will greatly improve efficiency. Ford's EV mega campus is expected to play a crucial role as the automaker strives to achieve a 2 million run production rate by 2026. Once fully operational, Ford expects its campus in Tennessee will be capable of producing 500,000 electric trucks per year. To prepare nearly 6,000 incoming employees, Ford is introducing Blue Oval Learning, which provides teachers support and increases work-based learning experiences. The campus is designed to be Ford's first carbon-neutral campus, as the automaker aims to power all plants globally with renewable and carbon-free electricity by 2035. For the first time in 120 years, the automaker will also use recovered energy from the site's utility system to provide carbon-free heating, saving roughly 300 million cubic feet of natural gas. Ford is planning on an on-site supplier park to speed up customization, including the robotic installation of spray-in bedliners and in integrated toolboxes before the electric trucks are sent to customers. So, there we go. Looks like Tennessee is going to be a new hotbed for Ford, as well as automakers and potential job opportunities. Comment down below what you guys think. Good thing, bad thing, or eh. Let's move on to our next story. Camaro 6, the best car we never loved. Looking back on a generation that drives great but didn't sell that well. It's difficult to consistently summarize the 6th generation Camaro. Well, I suppose dead is potentially coincidence. But eye-grabbing superlative such as the best bad car or worst good car don't really apply, nor is it strictly forgotten nor underappreciated. It's underpinned by the best in class of any pony car ever built, offering a near-perfect blend of outright performance and ride quality, and enough options for both to satisfy virtually and any backside. Yet it failed to capture our hearts, not to mention the lion's share of sales. Why? Because it's a V8 powered American car in general are no longer cool? Question mark. That certainly hasn't gotten in the way of the Dodge Challenger, a car that in constant danger of falling apart under the sheer mass of its own charisma. The big brutish coupe is ending its abruptly long run at the top of the V8 American coupe sales chart, an admittedly dubious accomplishment in light of COVID's influence on sales figures, but its lasting appeal speaks for itself. But the Camaro can't be blamed for Corona, but for its inability to woo us. Our minds were made up long before our lungs got gunky. Camaro came out of the gate with an almost imperceivable limp. It was missing the spark that elevates likable to lovable. Why? I can't only speculate, but if I were a betting man, I'd put my money on the likelihood that GM committed a familiar unforced error, putting too much faith in the internet. Possibility there. You know, that place where we all go to rage anonymously about things that people in our real lives are sick of hearing about. The same internet where people say they gladly buy an overtired radio flyer with a V8 strapped in it, if only the fun police would get out of the way. Oh, but it needs to cost $2,500. But exclusively only people who upvoted a particular thread on enthusiast forums here and come with a 12-year, 240,000-mile warranty with service performed only by seriously looking people in white suits, not the dirty wage slaves who replace the brake pads on your sister's Equinox. I exaggerate, but nonetheless, not much. For decades, American performance cars have been held to an unreasonable double standard in the eyes of many. Not to only must, but they be objective and subjectively better than anything offered by foreign manufacturers. They must do so at a dramatically lower price point to be worth taking a chance on, unless we're talking about Corvette, of course, in which case they must be priced higher to be taken seriously, as opposed to the NSX, you know, waves hands for reasons. Let's go back a few years. Outside of GM fandom, the 5th-gen Camaro was derailed as seamlessly too large to be a good performance car and too cramped to be worth driving every day. To compare it with the imaginary rocket wagon above is patently unfair, but having done more than my share of pontification within the cozy digital confines of an enthusiastic echo chamber, I promise you that the sentiment isn't that far off. Even the beastly Z28 wasn't enough to satisfy the snobs, but one that isn't big and bloated and kicks ass right out of the box, and I'll buy one, the internet buffled. And GM called the 6th-gen Camaro launch in 2016 to near universal praise from every outlet with even the slightest enthusiast lean. It did everything right. It got smaller, lighter, and more powerful. It was better by every tangible and intangible performance metric. It was such a hit that Camaro sales, check notes, continued a steady decline that began after peaking at 91,000 sales in 2012. Wait, what? In case you hadn't picked up on my subtle hints I've been letting on, that internet is full of bleep. I can condense any pony car shootout down to two simple finishing orders. If you care about how the car drives, it's Camaro first, Mustang second, and Challenger last. It's day-to-day livability. If your priority, then reverse them. It's that simple. Look at the way. It's no surprise that Mustang was so dominant for so long. as the positioning suggests, it really was an excellent compromise with a lean towards performance rather than practicality. But a simple finishing order doesn't tell the whole story. There's more to that than what first and what's worse. The Camaro is so great to drive that an enthusiast can probably look past its shortcomings, but it did need to have them in the first place. Did it compromises make it a better performer? Question mark. That's hard to say. It pinched trunk openings would certainly contribute to a stiffer chassis, which probably saved GM some weight. And to what extent did the gun slit windows and cramped footwells do the same? Question mark. How much more Camaro could we have had without giving up what made it so insanely good? The way I see it, GM has answered that question already twice. There's a flip side to this. Of course, do we know for certain that the Camaro would have sold better if GM's priorities had been rearranged? If the difference between the Camaro and Mustang had come down to no more than performance or preferences, most important, would it have mattered given that Stellantis could probably shake loose Challengers out of its break room sofa? The answer, of course, is no. What I do know is GM's performance, internal combustion engine engineers, have nothing at all to be ashamed of. Whether it's Camaro, Corvette, or Blackwing, there's no bad fuel-burning performance vehicle in the company's current portfolio. I'll miss the Camaro, but I wish I was going to miss it more. So, yeah. Hate to think to see that the Camaro is going bye-bye, but what do you guys think? Personally, if I could have afforded them, yeah, I would be having one in my driveway, but reality is, who's got the ducats? Flashback there, huh? Okay, on to our next story. Exhibitors just demonstrate strong commitment to the 2023 SEMA Specialty Equipment Marketing Association show. Automotive specialty equipment manufacturers are geared up to exhibit at the 2023 SEMA show, taking place from October 31st through November 3rd in Las Vegas. With an eagerness to connect with buyers in person, to create brand awareness, introduce new products, develop relationships, and tell their company's stories, exhibitors are signing up early than they had in previous years, demonstrating strong momentum for this year's show. Exhibitors' commitments continue to come in a constant rate, and with more than a third of all applicants historically submitted a week before the April 3rd priority application deadline. The 2023 SEMA show is expected to grow to more than 2,000 exhibiting companies. In the article, there's a running list of participating manufacturers who've already signed up for the show, major automakers, iconic aftermarket brands, and new and first-time exhibitors are confirmed for this year's 2023 show. The early commitment from exhibitors is a positive sign that companies are excited to reconnect face-to-face, said Tom Gattuso, SEMA Vice President of Events. It's also a sign that Companies are confident that they will have new products and stories to share. Since the pandemic hit in 2020, the industry has gathered at the SEMA show, making the annual event the go-to place for connecting with colleagues. In 2021 and 2022, the SEMA show has been almost the country's highest attended trade show, and momentum has increased as travel restrictions are lifted and businesses discover limitations of doing business virtually. Virtual meetings are great, but you can't smell the burning rubber over a Zoom call, said Gastu. Exhibitors that submitted completed applications by April 3rd will be included in the SEMA show priority booth selection process, at which time they will select their space and learn how to get the most out of their investment. Exclusive benefits and opportunities include first to select their space at the SEMA show and officially assign a booth number, immediately included on the online floor plan, which industry professionals use to determine what exhibitors to visit and how to plan their show. Connect with account reps who will guide them on specific opportunities to boost brand awareness based on the exhibitor's goals and target audience. Opportunities to sign up for the 2023 SEMA Show Exhibitor Summit, a 2.5-day boot camp style event where SEMA organizers guide exhibitors through important details and tips for success, reminders about early bird deadlines to save money on booth orders, and hotel rooms for staff. Booth space applications available, at SEMA Show/exhibitors are open to companies that manufacture products that enhance a vehicle's performance, styling, safety, or convenience. Registrations for industry professionals to attend the 4-day SEMA show opens on May 1st at the early bird rate until the late June. Visit SEMAshow.com to learn more and to see the list of companies that have already committed to exhibiting at the 2023 SEMA show. And as you know, if you've been a follower of my show or my YouTube channel, you'll know that this is a big part for me. I annually attend the show. I've been attending this show since, 2000. So this will probably be 23rd year of me attending this show. So it is definitely a show worth attending if you're within the industry. Unfortunately, it is a trade show for industry, people in the industry. But SEMA has started something new that I think you guys may be interested if you have the opportunity. On Friday of the end of the show, of the SEMA show on Friday, they've now started selling spectator tickets for a 1-day event to get into the trade show. So you actually, peruse and see the events on Friday of the event, as well as they'll have the SEMA parade at the end of the show day where all of the exhibit cars will be pulling out and parading out of the convention center and parading over into essentially the SEMA's West Lot for SEMA Ignited show. But SEMA is also doing basically what they've called SEMA Fest, which will take place on Friday as well as on Saturday at the Las Vegas event yard or fair yard or like festival venue, which is, I think, near the West Hall area, I believe. But I'll be reporting more information on that in a future update on that. So yeah, if you're going to be in Vegas between October, November, that first week, definitely check it out. I know Vegas is going to be having a lot of things happening with F1 coming to Las Vegas, so I'm not sure if it's going to be around the same time frame or give or take, so something to consider. if you're planning on it, and also consider looking at booking your rooms early now, because I'm already looking at hotel rates right now, and I'm just waiting for my connection order banks to open up before I commit to which hotel I'll be staying at for my planned trip. And I'm planning on being there for the whole week, and I'm also trying to line up with different exhibitors to cover their announcements and shows. So if you are a automaker or a member of SEMA that will be exhibiting this year, and you have a special announcements, please feel free to reach out to me, and let's chat on the back end, and maybe we can come up with something special during SEMA week that we can share with my audiences and potential customers for you. So that's something to consider there. Well, let's move on to our next story. Stellantis and Samsung SDI's Kokomo Gigafactory marks construction milestone. First piece of steel raised. Beam signed by joint venture management team and Kokomo mayor. Companies announce investment commitment of 2.5 billion or 2.3 billion euros in May of 2022. New electric vehicle battery manufacturing facility to create 1,400 new jobs. Expected to launch in the first quarter of 2025. Stellantis and Samsung SDI marked a milestone today in construction of their joint venture electric vehicle battery manufacturing facility in Kokomo, Indiana, with the rising of the first piece of steel that will form the structure of the new gigafactory. Members of the joint venture team, Kokomo Mayor Tyler Moore, President CEO of the Greater Kokomo Economic Development Alliance, Lori Dukes, and the group's economic development advisor, Charlie Spark, former Howard County Commissioner Paul Wyman, and Senior Vice President of Business Development with the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, Brooke Herr, commemorated the occasion by signing the first steel beam. The two companies announced the formation of the joint venture in May of 2022, committing to invest more than $2.5 billion and create 1,400 new jobs in Kokomo and the surrounding areas. The investment could greatly increase up to 3.1 billion or 2.9 billion euros. Targeted to launch in the first quarter of 2025, the plant aims to have an initial annual production capacity of 23 gigawatt hours, with an aim to increase 33 gigawatt hours in the next few years. The new factory will supply battery modules for a range of vehicles produced at Stellantis North American assembly plants. There you go. So, more jobs and more gigafactories. And for the longest time, I thought gigafactory was a trademark of Tesla, but I guess that's not the case, I guess, anymore. So, on to our next story. One sec. All right, our fifth story. The most powerful muscle car in the world, the 1,025-horsepower Dodge Challenger SRT Demon 170, set new performance benchmarks. Highlights include 2023 Dodge Challenger SRT Demon 170 reaches 60 miles per hour in just 1.66 seconds and delivers the highest G-force acceleration of any production car at 2.004 GS. Dodge's Challenger SRT Demon 170 delivers 1,025 total horsepower at 6,500 RPMs and 945 foot-pounds of torque at 4,200 RPMs on E85 ethanol. The Demon 170 produces 900 horses and 800 foot-pounds of torque on E10. Dodge Challenger SRT Demon 170, the seventh and final Dodge Last Call Special Edition vehicle, is history's first ever 8-second factory muscle car. Challenger SRT Demon 170 runs the quarter mile in the NHRA certified 8.91 seconds at 151.17 miles per hour, producing full performance at the drag strip, results in the Challenger SRT Demon 170 receiving an NHRA violation letter ban for running a sub-9-second quarter mile without a safety cage and parachute. Red keys only for Challenger SRT 10 Demon 170s. Horsepower output is determined by a percentage of ethanol detected in the fuel. Extensive component upgrades and features critical to harnessing the 1,025 horsepower include modified 3-liter supercharger, features a larger snout with 105 millimeter throttle body and 3.2 inch pulley. All new drive line includes HIP, hot isostatic pressing, processed housings, larger 240 millimeter rings and pinions, pressure cast new case and new mountings. Rear axle housings is 53% stronger with new geometry, rear differential housing, and features Direct Connect logo, larger rear cover mounted fasteners, increased case depth, and more. Rear prop shaft 30% stronger than the original Demon, and stronger half shaft design with larger interconnecting splines and revised heat treatment. 3 1550 R17 Mickey Thompson ET Street R drag radials, never offered before on a production car. Critical to vehicle performance, delivers extra tractive force. Patent pending Transbrake 2.0 includes torque shift shaping capabilities, a technology used in competitive drag racing with easier driver interaction to dial in preset torque limits. Unique drag mode suspension provides maximum forward drive and custom race settings for drag calibrations. First ever factory production car built with staggered drag radial tires and fender flares. Revised rear suspension for increased contact patch. Primary engine power components are completely upgraded. Camshaft is the only significant part untouched. High flow fuel rail and injectors are capable of providing 164 gallons of fuel per hour, more than the average U.S. showerhead. Features including optional LAX Enterprise Industry exclusive 2-piece lightweight carbon fiber wheels help Challenger SRT Demon 170 realized weight savings of 157 pounds in comparison to the Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye wide body. Removal of the front flares generate a weight savings of 16 pounds. Air grabber hood and air catcher headlight maximum air intake flow. Air grabber hood bezels, laser etched with alcohol-injected logo. Innovative SRT power chiller, a purpose-built production car first for the original Demon, diverts the air conditioning system to cool the supercharger in a cooler for optimal air intake temperature. Drive modes include an updated drag mode, and performance pages provide customization settings for transmission, suspension, steering, and more. Challenger SRT Demon 170 will be available in 14 exterior color options and carry a unique rework of the original Dodge Demon badge featuring a 170 neck tattoo and new E85 representative yellow Demon eyes. Interior adds a yellow and red serialized Demon instrument panel badge with four interior choices, including standard lightweight cloth with driver's seat only, optional full cloth interior, premium black Nappa leather and Alcantara, or Demon Red Laguna leather. One-of-a-kind owner content includes a commemorative Demon decanter set with personalized and serialized owner information, and then an available customized Goodwill car shell. The Challenger SRT Demon 170 personalization option through Direct Connect will include harness bar with coordinating lightweight carbon fiber rear seat delete inserts. 2023 Demon Challenger SRT 170 productions will be limited to at most 3,300 units, with 3,000 for the U.S. market and 300 for Canada, and with a final total based on production capacity. Challenger SRT Demon 170 will be available at a manufacturer suggested retail price of $96,666 excluding destination and fees. Owners of the original 2018 Challenger SRT Demon who secured an allocation will be able to match the same vehicle identification as their original Demon. Starting today, enthusiasts can view available dealer allocations for the new Challenger SRT Demon 170 via the Dodge Horsepower Locator tool at dodgegarage.com, with ordering beginning March 27, 2023. Dealer orders at MSRP will receive priority scheduling. Challenger SRT Demon 170 opens latest garage door of the Dodge brand's 24-month Never Lift campaign. More information on Neverlift available at dodgegarage.com. So yeah, and the rest of the length of this article will be provided in the show notes, so you guys can check it out. Worth checking out. And on to our last story. Don't get stuck at the airport during spring break. SeaTech recommends spring breakers add battery charging to their spring break checklist. AAA expects one of the busiest spring break travel sessions in years, with more Americans traveling by plane and international travel up 30% over 2022. Traveling by plane often means leaving a vehicle in an airport parking lot. After a long journey home, airport delays, battles with heavy luggage, and long lines, exhausted travelers could be faced with a fury of delays in getting home, a dead battery, the high power demands of modern vehicles, and the drain from parasitic loads such as tracking devices and alarms means the baggage can potentially become dead in a matter of days. SeaTech recommends spring breakers think ahead and prepare by adding an adaptive booster to their spring brake must-haves. The last thing a weary traveler wants to deal with when they arrive back from a long trip is a car that won't start, said Bobby DeMille, president. Sorry if I mispronounced her name. President of SeaTec North America. Moreover, jump-starting a car can irreparably damage a vehicle. Focusing purely on getting home as quickly as possible, vehicle owners are placing their cars at risk of damage by choosing the only quick option, a jump start. When a vehicle is jump started, a huge surge of voltage and current is generated that passes through the battery to energize the starter motor. This can potentially get through to the electronic control unit, ECU, and cause irreparable damage. To ensure your car will start when you return from spring break, stay safe with SeaTec's CS-free adaptive booster. Here are three tips for peace of mind this spring break. Charge before you go. To protect against a dead battery when you leave your car parked over spring break, SeaTec recommends an overnight charge the weekend before you go away to bring the battery up to maximum capacity. This will extend your battery life by as much as 300% and prevent the risk of jump-starting your vehicle when arriving back from spring break. Use the CS-free to get your battery fully charged and in tip-top condition before you leave home, especially if you haven't used your vehicle for a while or have only been using it for short journeys. Simply plug the CS-free into the power outlet or other power source, and this smart battery charger will check how much charge you have in your battery and get you fully charged in advance of your trip. Stuck with a dead battery? Use adaptive boost to get you going again. The CS-free is a fully portable, so you will never need to worry about being stuck with a dead battery again. Simply charge the CS-free before you leave home, and it will hold its charge for up to a year. Then, if you find yourself stranded at an airport, the CS-free uses patented adaptive boost technology to generate and safely give you enough charge to get you going in about 15 minutes. This is completely safe for your vehicle's electronics, unlike most traditional boosters or jump starters, which delivers a sharp burst of power to efficiently shock the battery into life, risking potential damage to your vehicle's electronics. Charge smart. Charging your vehicle battery at least once a month prolongs its life by up to three times, so getting yourself into a regular battery maintenance routine makes perfect sense. And as battery failures can damage or compromise a vehicle's electronics, a smart charger like the CS-free is most certainly worthwhile investment. Find out more about visiting ctech.com. Yep, and from what I've gathered from what I read about this thing, I'm going to be looking at doing a test review of this product when funds permit. So stay tuned to that. And I am also actually in talks with potentially having a representative from SeaTec appear on the podcast. So stay tuned for that. So be sure to give me a follow and do that. Yep, so give me a follow. Stay tuned for that. If there's any of these stories here that you like, comment, share them with your friends, share this podcast out, would really appreciate that. Be sure to find this podcast on all your favorite social media platforms, YouTube, Rumble, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. All of the platforms will be on the show notes. So, till then, thanks for watching.